Honorable members, I think we should start the committee secretary was just telling us that the minister will be another 10 or so minutes in the NCOP. He's coming here to speak to us as per our initial agreement. So in the meantime, we will say welcome to all of you so that we start this meeting. In the meantime, to deal with part of the meeting. Basically, the issue is to note agenda. There are people who have apologized. I've got here Mr. Ntabile. And then Honorable Nelson, sorry, and of course Mr. Bapela as well, he's not able to be with us today. Got those three apologies. Any other apologies that we need to, Mrs. Wenga, yes, also spoke to me about her inability to be here. And who else? Peter Smith?
Kodi Sebekulu and Mrs. Lam.
Those will be the notice. Who else? Yes, and Honorable Steve. Who else? Okay, so let's see. I will now hand over to the secretary of the committee. He is responsible to handle the next part of the meeting. Let's set the rules.
Good afternoon, everybody. As per Rule 129 of the National Assembly, we need to elect a chairperson for the committee. Can I call for nomination? Mr. Dizani?
I nominate Honorable Chita Atone. That's it.
Is there a seconder?
Yes.
Mr. Machova? Is there any further nomination?
Mm-hmm. Yes, thank you, ma'am. I nominate Honorable Helen Broma. Thank you.
Is there a seconder? Is there any other nomination? So we have Honorable Sonola and Honorable Duama. We will go for a voting now.
Yeah.
Honorable Domen, you just told my son that I was going to say exactly the same. ladies and gentlemen, the thank you very much. Thanks for the opportunity to work with you in this capacity. I think we are confronted, as I said earlier on, with the little weight that we have to do. We said that having firstly received the mandate from the House and looked at it and having discussed it and having read the documentation and discussed it, we felt it would be appropriate that we align what we are doing. By align, I mean understand what is emerging from the work that the minister is doing in the state of the local government report that he has, what is it called, the turnaround strategy framework. So that what we do, we have that as a background. Ours is an oversight, you see. And so this is why we thought it's appropriate that we have that meeting with him so that he briefs us. So he is briefed to do that, so that's why he's going to be here. The problem with today's agenda, I mean, it's because there's legislation that he's responsible for that's going through the NCOP. So he's been there, and so he must be coming back, as the Secretary said, in the next 10 minutes or so, so that he speaks to us. So can we just take that short break? He will be here any time now, the next 5 to 10 minutes, yeah. I think we
can take a break if there are no other issues on our agenda. Yes. If there are other issues that you want to set up for, then I suppose that we do that. When the minister comes on, we allow. Bearing in mind, Chair, that if we accept the program that is prepared for public hearing, the Department of Collective Governance is going to brief us for that.
Yeah. But before that program and the date was done before, that's why we didn't, it's not on the agenda, if you know, today. Because when it was done, we thought those were the appropriate dates for working with and so on. So we have to confirm those dates with you as well. They might change, I think, because of the time frames, minimum time frames that we require, at least to give people who must submit. Yeah. So, Okay, with the understanding of what I've just said about the date, right? Yeah, we put the date aside. Can we? Yeah, let's talk about that. What comment do you have? You have the document is the one titled, well, not titled really, introduction. And in terms of reference, so on and so on. Yes,
I'm a bit puzzled about your request that we put aside the issue of dates, because the dates proposed here are already different to the dates that we had at our last meeting.
Yes.
And if we're not going to concretize the dates here now, then I fear that we're going to recess in 2 or 3 days' time, where members have no idea when they're going, where they're going. And already I've got 2 members of my committee already thinking that it's a problem. But if we don't have clarity on dates, it's going to make it very difficult for people to commit.
No, I think we appreciate that. I think it's going to be difficult. No, any change that happens will happen in the next 24, before members leave. We can circulate dates so that you have them all. Like, part of the reason is that the documentation that are supposed to have gone out already, we couldn't do that because we didn't find the appropriate issues on the proposed way to communicate and see the strategy about this. So that's the only reason. So let's deal with that when we concretize it in the next 24 hours. We will not do it. Yeah. Let's talk about the other. Okay.
Chairperson, I would just like to know, the first time I've been at this meeting, I don't know where the other room is then, but,
no.
But are we already divided into teams?
Not yet.
Not yet.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not yet. Yeah, we
don't want to get left behind.
Yes. Can we talk about, let's go to that, to the provinces, and hear your suggestions for, I guess the division into teams will be done in parties, really. Decide who goes to which part and so on. But our original idea was that there would be 3 teams, and then those 3 teams would then go to the different provinces and so on. Any ideas that members want to talk about? We've taken that decision anyway of the 3 teams. What we'll do is just to break down the number of areas and so on. So the idea would be for us to just indicate any other recommendations that members have. Any idea? Sorry? Yes, we we will do that, yeah. Okay. I think we have to have facilitation. That's why there is that item about facilitation. Where is it? It's in the other document. Yeah. Chairperson, on this, is there any change in the provinces? Because it seems that the minutes and another document differ from one another. Is there clarity on which provinces each group is going to?
No. We have not decided anything. These are proposals. We can change them if we want to do so now, yes. So nothing is concrete, really, yet.
Just to check for purposes of coordination, when we want the people you nominated as part of the smaller group will constitute the liaison about who will go to which part. So the secretary here, if we say we're going to Mpumalanga, we'll talk to Peter Smith to find out from the IFP who's going to Mpumalanga and Gauteng. Is that our understanding? So can we just do that? In fact, what I would recommend we do is that immediately after this, you can submit your names, and let us if there's no proposal for what is there, the communication to change, I would suggest that political leaders, coordinators, to submit names for going to those provinces, so that when arrangements are made, contact is then done with those people. If you can give us names, if you have sorted out the specifics about who's going to go where, please leave the names with Shireen here, so that she then liaises to make logistical arrangements. You can agree to do that.
Clarity.
Yeah, sorry?
Clarity.
What about the for you know, the money is cool, the money is cool, the money is cool, the money is cool, the money is cool.
I think the meeting should really finalize that matter, because otherwise we won't allocate members which will go on the policy. If it's nine of them, that'll be fast, but we know exactly that are not. Because they're not agreed on forming.
No,
this document is just proposing what we should do.
Yes. But I did suggest that let's concretize those. We can do that here because nothing is final and can do that. Yes. Now, for the next
can I then, if I'm allowed to ask that, while we're waiting for the minister, can the parties just have smaller than caucus
holders,
and then we can sort out some of this?
To make proposals around provinces, to give indications of who's going to go where, if we can finalize that, and then, can we do that? 5 minutes. We take a request for that, yes? Come to me. The last meeting with provinces, this was made.
Yeah.
In the smaller provinces, maybe this was in the smaller provinces. And there were two reasons why
It was suggested, one, these were some of the areas where our provinces where problems had occurred, that's one. Two, it was suggested that provinces that are close to each other, Free State and Eastern Cape, Mpumalanga, Gauteng, then of course Northwestern, Eastern and Western Cape is one of the funny ones, but that was a suggestion in NDP. So, we shouldn't deviate too much from that, otherwise we're going to open a big debate again.
You are forgetting, because all other members were not there, firstly. But secondly, there was also a decision that since there was agreement that weekends members would go back home, there's no need to worry about which province is next to which one. It doesn't matter. You'll be anyway moving from province or so. In that sense, that's why it is. Anyway, there's a request for the ANC to have a caucus. Peter, you want to say something?
No, I just say ANC.
We don't talk about it. We just accept it. What's here. And I decided we just accept it.
But that's
ANC wants to talk about it.
As a proposal, we'll come back to you. Yeah. Okay.
The ANC can choose who goes back.
Yes, the ANC can choose, yes. It's going to do so. Now, give us a chance to do that now. we prefer to give you recommendations to confirm. That you can confirm them when you have done. Give us a few minutes, but.
Where is the interview?
Shireen, where is it? Shireen, can you go please, next 10 minutes and come here?
Where are we going? We have got one name.
And then the document name. That we're dealing with you.
It's going out of the room. I know what's my question. But I don't know. We don't have. Do we have this policy?
This one. I mean, the proposal that we're talking about.
This one.
Hi, you're not hungry. Mama, she
but do I have all of them?
Yes.
This one?
Yes. Baja, what's the question? Baja?
Which one?
Which one?
Okay, let's go. I'm leaving this year.
Yeah, they should disappear. Please.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was question that that was easy.
I'm going to get a little bit more. We've got to enter the year party now. We have money to sponsor and come to the end. We're going to leave at the very, very late.
Yes, yes.
You see, when I that's all.
Yeah. No, because I'm How do you know that your name is Christian? You haven't, you don't know.
Honorable members, we must apologize for the delay that we have had. Commerce Minister, we've invited you to speak to us as we said. The Parliament decided to have this oversight committee on service delivery, but that there was a anxiety that we couldn't do that without giving you an opportunity to brief us on what is emerging and what you refer to as the framework turnaround strategy. So that in doing the oversight, we are mindful of what is emerging in the work that we are doing as well. Because we would like to inform the recommendations that we made, including the inquiry that we'll be making in our interaction with stakeholders, broadly speaking, with a fuller picture of what you yourself have been doing and what emerging from there, so that we have a degree of comfort that this clarity of purpose. So that's why we thought that it would be important for you to meet there. Members who are here, their names are in the ATC, I think you can call it today, in line with the resolution of the House to establish this Service Delivery Committee. We've just had the election of the chairperson of this meeting, and so you are practically the first item on the agenda of the formal meeting of this committee. Please brief us.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Well, we must express a word of appreciation from our side when we see so many members of Parliament being called a committee. It's a very, very big and huge committee, which I think from our side we take it as a resource that must be able to ensure that it contributes in addressing issues of local government. One must hasten to say that local government matters are matters that can't be addressed by department or government. They require South Africans to be able to address it. Then, and what is important then is that I think that political parties, it's important that they play politics like in a theater where you have actors acting. But understand that on the matters of governance, we must rise above that because it is not assisting us in ensuring that things happen. I must say, Chairperson, we would be happy to get a list of the number of the committee members, so that we can be able to say that the latest before you leave on Thursday, we'll give you all the documents on the information that we have. One, the document on the state of local government in South Africa, the way we see gives you that. We must be also to be able to give you the embryo for a turnaround strategy, which is not ready for now. It will be ready by December, having undergone all the processes that must be taken. And therefore, to us, we believe that reacting only on specific matters where the service delivery challenge, we believe that that approach is an approach that is not assistive, because you only come and close the stable when the horse has bolted. It doesn't assist you because you are not able to deal with things before they happen. And that's why then we're looking at the comprehensive situation of this. We have developed a report that is tell you what is happening, each and every municipality and so on. But what we do, we start giving the abridged version of the report, which speaks to the issues that is being dealt with. Now, the state of municipalities in South Africa is caused by many factors. One among those is the lack of implementation of laws and policies. And one would say that Parliament is guilty. It has not played its oversight rigorously. It takes things for granted, and it's a challenge. One of the things that to us that we think are critical is that when we pass laws, it's in the interest of Parliament to check how far in the implementation of the laws. It means we must call the department to say, tell us, what is an implementation plan and time frame of the law that we passed? In that way, you are able to hold people accountable in terms of what they said they are going to do and they are able to do. And when you talk about these issues, the major area of a challenge in the lack of implementation of laws and policies is an issue of procurement. You find that people want to ensure that they influence the procurement, they get involved in corrupt practices, and it's not a party thing. It's a South African thing. Because you can come here in the Western Cape, there are municipalities where the problem is. I documented it in my office. I met with people in the DA-controlled municipality, even the IT-controlled municipality, or the colleges. You go to KwaZulu-Natal, I'm going to be getting a document now, as an example, in the rural KwaZulu, where people have a child, 18 million. The document is manifest. I mean, I'm saying that's an IT-controlled municipality. You go to Newcastle, go to Wellington municipality, I can talk about. You come to the ANC-controlled municipality. The same thing is applicable, this problem of procurement. That the battles are fought based on the access to resources. It's not ideological, it's nothing. It's about access to resources. The second thing is the employment of people. That's the second area where it's causing tension is public. Where you find that in the main, people who employed at that level, in terms of the system that it says you can employ, council employs a municipal manager and section manager, managers below the municipal manager. People below that are supposed to be employed by the municipal manager. But you have councillors who take and forfeit that responsibility and make it their own, their business to employ, which is against the law. Parliament, no oversight, nothing, these things happen in front of the eyes of the parliamentarians. I'm saying laws passed by yourself, they are violated, you are not able to ensure that you intervene as possibility. That's the second area of employment that's causing a lot of conflict and so on, because people want to employ people that they know, their friends, their cousins, and so on, and relatives generally. And that's what is happening, I said, really, in some municipalities. The other area is an area of intra-party conflict. You find that the factions and battles within parties have an impact on municipalities. It is applicable across. It's not a one-party thing. The other thing you find that is fight within parties. I'll make a case in point as we speak. There's an issue, a recent one, Stellenbosch. Now, as we speak, it's a municipality that was under the DA, there was a fight, DA was ousted, with this competition. Now, it's a municipality under the ANC, with UDM, Kaya Mnandi, Residents Association, and one woman is independent. Fight broke out and so on. About money, access to resources. What is that? Now, we have that situation that is prevailing. Now, the point I'm putting across is that there's infighting within parties and between parties. And these things have a negative impact on local government. The other area, then, is this thing of people, of employing people without skills. Happens in many areas. In one municipality, they employed a cleaner, former cleaner, as a CFO. In one municipality, in one province, The CFO doesn't even know the financial year cycle. When does it start and when does it end? CFO. That's the extent of the problem that is. And this is, it's not about playing politics. It's about addressing these matters, not for ourselves, but for our children and the future generation. That must create a system of governance that is really functional, that can be sustainable in a way it does this. Now, Chairperson, then, from our point of view, is that when you, these things then anger people on the ground, because amongst other things, there's a social distance between the community and leaders. And more often than not, councillors at times become very arrogant. When people present things, they dismiss them as if they're nothing, they don't attend to them, and so on, and then this thing boils and so on, and apathy explodes. And people feel that the best way to be listened to is to go to the street, then things, government is going to listen to it. It's not supposed to be like that. Reason for that is that the ward committees are not functioning optimally as they're supposed to be. And these ward committees, even where they function, they don't report to the people. They represent their own jacket. Now, it means we must be looking at how do we come with a system of ward committees that is really representative of the people and your servants of the people at that level, and what should be done at that level. The issue of the IDG as a plan for a municipality. In many areas, they are undermined by other spheres of government. They don't participate in the development of things. If they do, they send junior officials who are like toy telephones. They can't take decisions. Now, in that, the problem. You have a situation then that departments, nationally, provincially, state-owned enterprises, they come and implement projects that are not within the IDP, which is a violation of the law. Because if it's not in the IDP, it's not supposed to be there. The IDPs are taken as a Torah when you talk to the Jews. As a Bible, when you talk to the Christians. As a Quran, when you talk to Muslims. If it is not there, it's not supposed to be implemented. Now, you have that issue as a challenge also in relation to development of needs. And you find that even if these needs people raise their issues, councillors don't come back and say, no, what you propose was a wish list is not going to be implemented. They get scared to come and tell the people the truth. That is not going to happen now. Maybe it's going to happen tomorrow, day after tomorrow, next year, or that year, and so on, in a multi-year budget. Now, that causes a challenge in that respect. The other weakness is that systematically, provincial government was marginalized to play a role in the monitoring and support of municipal. And you find that they don't have the capacity. I mean, we've done statistics, they're going to be there, you look at the document, where you find that people who are beyond standard the Greek are very few. People who are at a level of a director and upward, in terms of their rank, seniority, they are very few. Senior officials who are just people who are implementers in that process. And most of the time, in many provinces, provincial governments, they are at sea. They are in the darkness, where there are no stars, they are not even the moon. Very dark. They don't know what is happening. The department was playing a role, but it was relying on reports. And you know people when they write reports. They write roles in that report. Mm. Which you find that more often than not, they don't respect the publisher on the ground, where they want to appear nice. I mean, two provinces told us that, no, we knew that we were sending reports that are not accurate and so on. And they told us, we knew interrogating them. That, no, we knew that we sent these reports. Now, I'm saying it's a litany of issues where, really, we need to be looking at how do we politically, administratively, even in terms of the society, we deal with the issue. I must tell you that the protests are not done by Africans or people in the country only. The white community, they've established 280 ratepayers associations where they are established them in terms of terms, where they are not paying for services. Their money they are putting in a trust account. Because they don't agree with the potholes and this lack of development, that and so on. Therefore, they say there's no point of paying for services. That is a parallel government. It can't be accepted. Yes, it's people have tried to raise their problems, but they must be addressed. And I'm saying there's that issue also, where you find that people are there.
you find a situation where the minority, the African community and other communities, they feel that they are marginalized. They are not taken on board in the system of governance. What it affects them directly. It means what we have to turn it around, so you unleash the potential of South Africa. The RPG says it. It says you're establishing this sphere of government to unleash the potential and the energy of South Africa. And I don't think we'll leave that to that. Now, I'm saying, having said all those things, it is important to me, I think, that in the execution of the task, if it was all possible, you are supposed to have the report and be able to call people to come and talk to them. The parliament must be able to be taken in a very, very serious way. It must be able to be respected, and it must be able to execute the task and keep it. And from our side, we are prepared to give you the report on things that we have. Work is still being done, but what we want to do is that by the end of this year, cabinet is supposed to pass the turnaround strategy at a national level. From there, we're going to take this turnaround strategy at the national level to look at it now in a municipal specific, because we're saying you can't have a one-size-fits-all solution. Municipalities are different, they make the conditions are different, they so the country, they are not the same. Therefore, you must be able to take the process for 3 months, January to March. Take the specific tailor-made draft turnaround strategies and ensure that you engage the local population, all sectors of society in that area, all organizations to get their views, be able to ensure that they tell us or they tell you what it needs to be done and be able to move. And we believe that we must be able then to have a structure of all organizations there to ensure that it assists the development of a turnaround strategy in a municipality, but equally, it must be able to monitor the implementation so that people have confidence that they buy in the system. And we think then that the program is a program that must be taken quite seriously and be driven. And we believe that these structures, whilst they monitor the implementation, they must assist in the establishment of work committees of a new task that are going to be able to take their responsibility, establish frequency and responsibility and so on. Once that is done, then the new structures can appear and allow the ward committees to be coordinated at the municipal level and be able to ensure that things are done. That's what we think, and we think that between January and March, we must be able to ensure that national government departments, provinces, especially in terms of space, in the GIS system, they must be able to present what are the projects and programs that they are going to be delivering when. So we know who is doing what. They are coming, so that these things are in the ICT. Then when we do that, we want to ensure that at a world level, people are also going to be able to involve in the process of developing their needs. So that by June, when budgets are adopted of municipalities, they are based on all this process. By July, the implementation happens. By August to September, people must be able to go and report back to communities that they engage at a world level. What project is coming to you, HP, and so on, so to know whether things are going to happen and so on. So that element of engagement happens. Now, that's what we are seeing driving the process forward, and we believe that we must mobilize all South Africans to come to the party. I'm assessing to say that one of the things that we raise in these discussions with the people on the ground, because when we go to a county municipal, we meet with the union, we meet with leadership management, we meet with business community in that area, would meet with traditional leaders if they exist, all formations would meet with them, so that you are able to get an unbiased view that expresses different interests in that. And we think then that from our side, going forward, we must be able to unleash the potential of South Africa. This thing of believing that there are people who are clever, who are few, I don't think it works, because you are not tapping on the knowledge and experience of South Africa as a whole. From our point of view, then, Chairperson, that's what we can say. We are saying we think we need to give these documents, but we are going to be looking at them, to read them, and people that will have time to read documents. Well, sometimes we give documents, people that are too busy, MPs, they are too busy to read, and they come to meet you sometimes without really looking at all. Now, that's what we think that we must be able to do, give you the documents. Then once you have the documents, that you have time to formalize yourself, then you can come and talk to us. We can deal with any specificity that is required. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Members, there is a presentation by the minister. I do not know whether you want to ask questions, because I thought the minister has done this, and is promising to give us a report which we must look at. But if there's any one or two questions, we will entertain them. Any one or two? None. Comrade Minister, what we didn't tell you is also that this committee is multi-committee in its composition. So there are members from your principal portfolio committee, and then there are the members from the rural development committee led by the chairperson, Comrade Stowe, and then there are comrades from water and environment. There's a temptation to say water and sanitation, as we do water and environment, and they are with the people. And we also have members from energy and from human settlement. Yeah, human settlement. So that's basically, and health as well, basic education.
And transport.
Yeah. And transport, yeah. Okay. So those are that's the composition. So in our multi-committee and so on, because we would like to use those lenses. Look at what's happening as well. So thank you very much. We appreciate it. We will expect the simple summaries of your report as you promised before we arrive and so on. Comrades, if all of you members also like the DA have your end of year function tonight, go enjoy the red wine. Have fun. Thank you very much. We will communicate members by tomorrow. Issues of the day, as we said, and so on. And then, thank you very much. Thank you.
Just for clarity, I thought we were going to have a broader discussion after the minister had just left. Are you closing the meeting now?
Just hold on. Members, I'm hearing questions about transport here. You were supposed to have given that information to Shireen and Sachi about your transport needs.
We did.
Sorry?
We did.
Yeah. Who has it? Your parents. Where did you go to? What I'm saying is that for purposes of further engaging on this issue, let's do it. We'll create an opportunity to do that so that we go into it. But, all right, we're still going to have reports. It will be better when you have reports as well. Thank you.
Transport is in seven countries.
Transport.
Is there anybody from Pelican here?
Yes.
Oh, you are by
No, I'm not too.